You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, alongside my co-host, Tyler Sanders. And behind the scenes, well, I guess on a podcast, you don't know who's in front of the scenes and behind the scenes, but behind the scenes, Ethan Hufnagel, our problem solver, promoter, and producer. I did not plan that alliteration,
that was
but
good.
Boy, am I proud
Love
of it.
Love me some alliteration.
Oh, boy. Update for our patrons on Patreon. We have heard your feedback and issuing a formal apology here for the quality of the stream. We thought we always blame our internet service. It was not that. We have pretty good internet service here. So we are trying out some new hardware tonight that should give you some real good quality streaming. I cannot guarantee the quality of the content itself.
Yes.
You may not want to see me or Tyler's beard experiment in high def, but we're hearing your feedback, dare I say, complaints, and we are addressing things because we want this to be a good experience for everyone. We did get a couple pieces of feedback from Instagram as well. People said they want longer episodes again on the audio podcast. They miss them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, heck yeah, Doug, we might be doing something right.
I know. But, you know, it's like Ferrari. You always leave people wanting more.
Yes, but not like too much more. I think we could probably we get a little bit more in there.
Right. So we are doing that as well. We're adding some of our old elements back in for the audio podcasters. And
the OGs.
Patreon topic for tonight, for those of you who are Patreon subscribers. Patrons, that's the easy way to say it, is... What is it, Ethan? If $2 car, $2,000 car.
$2,000 car, yeah.
That we have to drive for a year.
You have $2,000 for a car that you daily for the rest of the year, correct?
Do we like have to put a certain number of miles on it?
That's a good question.
Because I could just buy one and just, you know, stick it in the back.
Well, this is your daily cruiser. This is something that you're trying to, it's your daily. I don't know how else to put it other than that.
All right, minimum 5,000 miles.
Right. Oh, trust me. With where we're looking at $2,000, Doug, we're well over 5,000 miles.
No, woo! You have to put 5,000 miles on it.
Okay.
Yes. You have to drive it. If you do enjoy this podcast, consider becoming a patron. There's different subscriber levels, and we want to give a shout out to somebody who signed up for a shrewd negotiator level. Ethan, who is that?
Yeah, it was...
Still is, hopefully.
Still is. Larry Cates.
All right. Thank you, Larry, for the shrewd negotiator level subscription. Gives you insider access to me and Tyler.
Yeah.
Get your questions answered, maybe not accurately, but with extra snark. And let's see. What is fueling this podcast tonight, Tyler?
Oh, well, I had to make up for, I don't It wasn't last time, but I'm still reeling from the offensiveness I brought with that honey finished whiskey. So I have
that
brought
was quite terrible.
Penelope's rosé cask finish, which was a gift from a friend of mine, and it is delicious. It is bright, it is happy, and Penelope does a good job at covering up the taste of young whiskey. So
there you go. Yeah, Penelope is quite good across the board. I've got my organic cranberry juice and sparkling water tonight. I've got a road trip tomorrow, so I want to sleep well. So that is, yeah.
I was going to give you a bad time, but I'm such a road trip diva that I understand. Everything has to be perfect.
I was thinking this week, I have really great business name ideas. I'm like Michael Scott in that regard. And I have this list of businesses I'd love to start just so I could use the names. I could never run all the businesses. They might be terrible businesses. I just want to use the name. In fact, if people would like my services with great ideas or ideas for your business or your vanity plate, I have a way with wordplay. So I don't know why I thought of this one this week, but if I started a detailing service, it would be Balding and Buffing. I'll have your car shine like the top of my head.
Yeah, that's so good. This reminds me, back in college, a group of friends and I used to have a list on like Google Keep or whatever of band name ideas of the similar thing.
Yes.
Just like ridiculous band name ideas. I'm still a sucker for the somebody says a phrase and then, oh, I hear they're playing down at the House of Blues this weekend. Love it. Gets me every time.
Yeah, our band does the same thing. We've got a whole list. Got to check Carvana stock just for the kicks and giggles. You know, it's not as bad as I thought. Well, good for shareholders. Somebody told me it was over $400 a share, which I would have just gone bananas. But it got close. It got to $390 a couple weeks ago. It is sitting at $345 a share. Yep. Anyway.
One day the vibes will not be as good for Carvana, and then we will be right. But the rest of this time, we're just waiting.
Maybe. I am right about something tonight. I will be right. I have a bold prediction. I'm very sure about it, but I'm really sure I'm right tonight. The Monterey auctions are coming up. Many of you may be there right now, and by the time you listen to this, you will have the Monterey hangover from so many cars and so many millions of dollars sold. But one car in particular that's selling this weekend is Jack May's famous Cannonball Dino. It's a 1972 Dino 246 GTS. So it's the Targa top. And it is white over red interior. Jack is the original owner of this car, and he won the Cannonball with his co-driver Rick Klein in 1975. And he beat Brock Yates's and Dan Gurney's time by just 1 minute, 35 hours, 53 minutes. So that was the record at the time. He maintains it still is the record because that was the last official Cannonball run that was Red Ball to Portofino. So he's still hanging on to nobody's ever beaten his record, whatever. But this will mark the first time that a Cannonball record car, at least in modern times, has left the hands of the owner who set the record in it. Obviously, Brock Yates's Ferrari Daytona wasn't Brock Yates's. It was lent to him by Kirk White, the Ferrari dealer. So Jack Mays is the oldest one, and every car newer than his that set a record, other than, I guess, the Jaguar XJS, that one was in completely dilapidated condition, but every other one is with the owner, still in operating condition. So there's not much precedent in terms of what premium that will bring over a regular vehicle that doesn't have that provenance. So what's our prediction for what this thing will sell for this weekend? I think Jack May thinks it's worth, well, he had told me $750,000 is what he wanted for the car, which...
So, like, let's level set for definitely the people in the audience, Doug, not your expert car guy over here. What is a Dino in this condition worth? It seems it's a cool color combination.
Yep.
They're sweet cars. So, like, what's a ballpark?
$500,000.
Okay.
Plus or minus $200,000 for provenance condition miles. But the line right in the middle of the graph on classic.com is 500,000. His has a lot of miles on it and some patina, but it's a rare color and original owner car, which people love stuff like that. So let's just say 500K without the Cannonball provenance.
I predict that they'll have a 15% uplift with the Cannonball provenance because I think it's really cool. I think the history is amazing. For I don't know how many people at Monterey will really jive with the history.
Well, it is California. They love Cannonball out there, and it's a lot of car people. So you say 575,000.
Yeah, let's make it six.
Okay.
Go over six.
I'm going to say, I think there is a premium for the story. I think it goes for 650.
Okay. We doing prices right rules?
No.
If it's under both of ours, we both lose. I don't know what we lose, but I have to drink more of that honey whiskey.
Just closest. So if it goes for 620, you win.
All right.
Okay. Love to hear your guesses as well. What do you think? I think he's hoping he'll go for $1 million just because of the provenance. And some people are saying, no, it's going to go for like 350 or 400 because it's a high mile ratty Dino. So we shall see. Ford made a big EV announcement yesterday. I'm sorry. This is the 12th. And I was right. This is what I've been saying the whole time. People think I hate EVs. I don't hate EVs. I just, the model is wrong and the government intervention is wrong. But it's basically, they're going back to the Model T business model. They're doing a modular chassis vehicle where they can make multiple different vehicles off of this one platform like Tesla. And they're targeting, their first vehicle is a $30,000 small truck, so like the Ford Maverick, essentially, in an EV. So an EV for the masses that's practical and affordable. What I've been saying the whole time. So either Jim Farley is a genius, or he's been listening to our podcast, and I want some stock in Ford as a thank you for the idea.
Well, and like this is, like you said, it's what we've been saying, but I think Jim Farley has touted that he's been driving he's imported and driven some of the popular Chinese brands, and he's really tried to immerse himself in what works. And I think this is, you know, it feels like, I guess I don't know what other leaders and other companies are doing. It feels like a more grounded strategy than trying to cater to high margins to make the program work. Like, to introduce something new, there, it is a longer term play. And I think if Ford does this right, they will have a very viable option for those that want EV power.
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting play in the face of so many luxury manufacturers rolling back their investment into EVs.
Because that might get you the margins today. It's why companies like Pagani can still operate, because they, you know, the margins on their cars are large enough to keep the company going for the small number they sell. That doesn't work when you fill everybody's needs with super luxury, high performance EVs. There's just less of a demand.
Well, it also doesn't work when you expect to sell 200,000 and you only sell 50,000.
Yes. That math does not matter.
Those are numbers just made up, but you know, it's the same story across all the luxury EV manufacturers.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield All-Sport Diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield Well of Clever and Unique Design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield Watches, value on merit, not just price.
I love mine, so get yours at SheffieldWatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
This is a doozy this week. I saw this story and it's awesome. It's local to me, sort of. It's Ohio, and it's a car dealer lawsuit. It's some serious pettiness. The long and short of it is a Kia dealer in Ohio gets sued by their client after they repoed her car, right? So they repoed it 3 weeks after she signed the contract. So before she had even made her first payment, she got so upset. She sued the dealer in civil court and then played this Uno reverse card craziness, or like the nope card in what's that game? Taco Cat?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yes. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. It's not called Taco Cat, but anyway.
And two nopes make a yup.
Right. And she registered their dealer name. So, of course, every news article is just eating this up. Like, oh, they took her car, so she took their name. And they are totally on the side of this girl because, oh, man, how could a dealer repo a car just because her income didn't check out? That's totally shady. Like, this is poetic justice. Well, we're going to dive into that. One, it's not. They had every right to do that. But two, she really didn't register their name, and there is an ongoing legal battle about this, but there's something that they missed, and we will get to that. But first, we're going to unpack what actually happened, how it happened, why it happened, and tell you the things that the rest of the media is not telling because they're just jumping on this as a juicy story. We're going to actually unpack this from the dealer side of things, from an Ohio law side of things. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving you legal advice, but as a business owner in Ohio, I have to know the business laws. And this falls under that category of, I know this rule because it affects me. And also, side note, this is why I always say we are never, rarely the first to break a story, but that's purposeful because we have all this context. We've done a lot of research that gives the full picture to what is going on and predicts an outcome unlike pretty much all the other media outlets. So, Tyler, give us a breakdown on the story itself and what happened.
Alrighty, the details. So Tia McCreary, in February 2024, purchased a Kia K5 from Taylor Kia of Lima. 1 month later, it was repossessed, and that is what set the stage for where we are today. The initial purchase of the vehicle, according to court documents, went pretty smoothly. Signed a buyer's order, the loan agreement, got all the other documentation squared away, and drove the car off. At this point, a little bit later, the third-party lending agency that was hand-servicing the loan, which is called Global Lending Services, determined that McCreary's income was not sufficient to justify the loan. So because of that, they did not issue the funds to the dealership. The Kia dealership then said, well, we don't have the funds, so we're going to repossess the car. And they did this to her when she was at work on March 29th of 2024. Obviously, this didn't sit very well with McCreary, ground her gears a little bit. So she started searching what are her repercussions. And it in her search, she learned...
I don't think that's the right word, Tyler.
Repercussion. What is her... that isn't the right word. I've had... Nah.
What is her recourse?
Recourse. That... Thank you.
Whew. There will be repercussions from this, but...
I need more whiskey. What is her recourse? So in this search, she learned that Ohio Secretary of State office had canceled the state's registration for Taylor Kia of Lima, which is the name of the dealership she purchased the car... Well, attempted to purchase the car from. So she seized this opportunity and she actually registered what the article says, registered that moniker in her own name. So the automotive group that owns Taylor Kia of Lima operates several dealerships in Ohio. And at some point this registration lapsed. And then, so this allowed McCreary to register, we'll call it in her name, goodness. And she then sent a cease and desist letter to Taylor Cadillac that addressed what she called their continued use of a fictitious name that is now registered to her. So this spawned a bunch of legal
proceedings.
Goodness, words are challenging.
And the first court ended up throwing out the lawsuit because of an anti-arbitration clause, right? Is what we call
it. No, it was an arbitration clause.
Okay. Yeah. Which means that you essentially
standard
like,
boilerplate stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're that she signed and it says you can't do this in court. You have to arbitrate it.
Yes.
Which she claimed in one of the articles I read that they added that in or snuck that in. That. Like, no, I didn't sign that. I'm like, yeah, you did. You just didn't read it.
Yeah. I've recently have gone through the paperwork of purchasing a car. It's in there and very clearly called out to you that that's what this is. So they threw it out because they're like, hey, we're not going to do anything. This should go through arbitration. It was appealed, and another court determined that the scope of the arbitration agreement was for the purchase of the car. And technically, this is not the dealings with this registration of the name is not a part of the deal of the car. So they are allowing the suit to continue. And I think that brings us up to today.
Yes.
And we're just kind of waiting to see what happens next.
So there is a scheduling hearing on August 18th. Now, I want to unpack what happened in terms of how a dealer could repossess somebody's car just for non-verifiable income.
Well,
a lot of people think that was a huge injustice, but let me tell you, it happens all the time.
Isn't this how it works? That when you get a loan, they do a credit pull and they verify income, which I know credit pull isn't verifying income.
You
but
have
like,
good credit, so you get good loans.
Okay.
Okay. These are subprime loans.
Okay.
And they very, very expensive, and they'll do what they call a spot delivery. So they will take stated income and deliver the car, but there is plenty of fine print that says if your stuff doesn't check out, we can take the car back.
Oh,
a dealer is not dumb enough to just go repo a car because they don't like the deal they made.
Yeah.
And the contracts with these banks are incredibly favorable to the banks. And essentially, if the bank doesn't like anything that happened, they'll kick the deal back to the dealer and say, you own the loan. Well, a dealer doesn't want to be in the lending business. They're not buy here, pay here dealers. This is a franchise Kia dealer. So they go, forget that. We're going to go get the car.
Yes.
They can do this. She signed an agreement that said they can do this. And argue what probably happened, what I hear usually happens, because we don't deal with these types of lenders. So all I hear about this from, you know, other people in the industry is she probably misstated her income, and the banks will call the people, the borrowers, a week or two later and ask some questions. And often they'll fail the interview because they don't remember what they put for income or something like that. So the lender will go, gotcha. Nice try.
Gotcha.
Loan denied. So they kick it back to the dealer. So that's what happened to cause this vehicle to be repoed. And she was super upset. And I doubt she really had any legal grounds, but I guess anybody can file a lawsuit. Again, that one initially was dismissed because it was supposed to go to arbitration. And even the current legal proceedings have to do with this name, right? Because that's the only thing out there. It's a separate issue. But the name thing is really, really interesting.
What I think is also interesting is the attorney for McCreary said, as quoted in this article from LimaOhio.com, says, my client owns that name registered. Is that true?
But does she? Okay. Taylor Kia is the parent company. Taylor Kia, Taylor Cadillac. Okay. Taylor Kia Lima LLC was active at the time of her registration. The timeline is important, though. The trade name Taylor Kia of Lima had expired in 2022. They registered that trade name in 2012. It's a 10-year registration. In 2014, they registered the LLC Taylor Kia Lima. So I believe they said, we no longer need the trade name because we now have a company name.
Okay.
Because if a parent company has a bunch of DBAs, they'll register the trade name to protect the name and to legally tell the state that they're operating under that name. Once they file an LLC for that location with that name, they go, well, we don't need a trade name. It'd be like me having Switch Cars DBA Switch Cars, or Switch Cars Inc. DBA Switch Cars. I don't need that because I own the name Switch Cars. It's registered in Ohio. I have a U.S. trademark on it, etc. So in 2022, the trade name expired, Taylor Kia of Lima. April 2024, Tia has her car repossessed. June, she files a civil suit against the lender and the dealer. Same month, she registers Taylor Kia of Lima as a fictitious name. Fictitious name.
So what is that?
It is a name that you can use to operate a business. However,
doesn't fictitious mean fake?
Well, kind of. That's what her attorney is basically saying. But according to Ohio Secretary of State's website, so trade names are protected. You can't register a trade name that is the same as an existing company name or existing trade name. Nobody can register Switch Cars as a company name or trade name in the state of Ohio. Now, there's nuances as well. So they don't distinguish between tenses, if there's conjunctions or plural versus non-plural. If you add a hyphen, you can't just like put in that little nuance. In this case, Taylor Kia Lima versus Taylor Kia of Lima. I don't believe Ohio gives a rip about that.
Okay.
The important thing, and this is what is going to decide the case, in my opinion, and I don't know how nobody in the courts or any of the attorneys have caught this yet, because in my opinion, this is an immediate dismissal. Ohio Secretary of State website. Fictitious names are not required to be distinguishable upon the records from any other previously registered name. However, a fictitious name provides no protection because other registered names are not required to be distinguishable from a fictitious name.
So they can still operate under their business name, which is not distinguishable from the fictitious name, but it doesn't matter because the Ohio law says it doesn't matter.
Correct.
Because they essentially, the real business name supersedes, takes priority over.
Correct.
The fictitious name.
Right. So they let their trade name expire because they already had the LLC name. She cannot register a trade name because they have the LLC. They are protected in their use of that name. So she registers a fictitious name because that's all she can do, because it's not, it can conflict. Anybody can register the fictitious name Switch Cars, but it doesn't give you any right to then say, oh, Doug, you have to stop using it. So she sent this cease and desist, and she actually tried to get an injunction to get them to stop doing business under that name through the courts. But according to Ohio law, she has no right to do so because a fictitious name provides zero protection against anybody else using it.
This feels like something that somebody learned from a TikTok. That like, oh, well, my God, pay it back to the
She's got an attorney. He's a bankruptcy attorney. But he's an attorney.
He doesn't quite... This isn't his area of expertise.
No, seems like it's not.
It's like saying you hired me to write some Fortran. I don't know how to do that.
Other things, maybe, though, she may have hired him to get a package deal, because when I looked her up in the court system, she has monthly, if not biweekly, judgments against her from the state of Ohio for sales tax starting in December 2024, the most recent in May. I would guess there's more recent ones. They're just still in process. So it seems like she probably started a business and is not paying her sales tax. And she's got a whole lot of tax liens against her from the state of Ohio.
Yikes.
Right. So she may be needing that bankruptcy attorney so near future.
I know you make not it so seem distant. So you've presented the information to me, so it seems extremely obvious. But like, wouldn't it be somebody's job in the court system to like read this?
I don't know. Right. Okay. So maybe it went up to the appellate court and they said, well, we're distinguishing between these two suits, and basically like, yes, this one can be settled in arbitration, this one doesn't. But I don't know that it's their job to decide the case, because they kicked it back down to the original court in which it was filed.
So they're just saying, no, this should proceed because it doesn't have anything to do with the arbitration clause that was signed. You guys figure it out.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. But I have to imagine that Taylor Kia's attorneys know this by now and here's why. August 1st. So after all these news stories came out around end of July, August 1st, Taylor Kia of Lima was registered again as a trade name.
Oh, okay.
Using an anonymous or like a anonymous registered agent.
Okay.
So I assume it's Taylor Kia of Lima's attorneys going, oh, well, let's just double lock this up and just register the trade name again.
Okay.
Because they're allowed to, but they actually have to give themselves permission to do so. Because not anyone can register that. They have to have consent from the owner of that name. So Taylor Kia Lima LLC has to give themselves consent to register Taylor Kia of Lima LLC as a trade name. But I think they probably just did that as double protection of like the double reverse card of like, no, we own this still. Again,
we own the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Bit, top to bottom.
Yeah. I got a kick out of that because she's trying to send him a cease and desist and she has absolutely no grounds to stand on. And all the media is making this out to be this great karma, poetic justice against this crappy dealer. And it's like, no, a young lady who doesn't pay her bills and allegedly misstated her income in order to get a loan, got caught and then tried to like sue people for something she signed and agreed to, and then tried to take their name. And, you know, it's the way Ohio's rules are written in terms of all these nuances of it. Like, you can't just put a dash in and get a trade name. It's almost like they saw this coming. Like, they knew people were going to try to do things like this in terms of, oh, I'm just going to register this name and take it from a legitimate business who's operating under that name and forgot to register. It's the same thing with domain names. Like over early days of the .com bubble, people would register walmart.com.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of ICANN rules that come into play there. And of course there was that big dispute with nissan.com that was owned by an engineering company, but there's protections against companies who are legitimately using a name against people like this who just want to, oh, well, I'm going to get your name and you can't use it anymore. You have to pay me rights. You owe me. No, they don't. They don't.
It is a catchy headline, so I understand why folks are really latching onto it, but this will probably go nowhere.
Nowhere. Wall of shame tonight. Very brief. My family runs a gas station called Ralph's Got Gas. And it's in the middle of nowhere, Maine, nice. And they get all sorts of characters coming in from out of town. It's on a big tourist route. And my sister texted me and said, I have a woman out here in a BMW who says her car can't have non-ethanol gas in it. It has to have high octane with ethanol. So instead of putting in premium non-ethanol, she put in 87 octane because it had ethanol.
I don't think that's how that works.
No, it's not.
Huh.
But she was overthinking it, trying to be smart. Because she's like, oh, it's got to have ethanol
I've
gas.
I've got to have the best fuel.
So instead,
does Ralph
she puts
have
the
best gas?
In, yeah. The lowest octane possible.
Pretty sure she might notice some reduced performance here shortly.
Probably.
Knock sensor doing its job.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio, where you can experience the Switch Cars difference.
I don't often like to do main topics based off of videos on social media, but every now and then one piques my interest based on either the caption or the content. And in this case, it was both. And the caption, of course, was very misleading, which is what we're seeing a lot nowadays. We have the problem of just AI content, period. But then we have AI captions, which are designed to, I guess, rage bait and get people discussing. And they have zero connection to what actually happened in the video.
Well, and even if it isn't an AI caption, the trend that has really made me, well, there's a lot of things that make me not want to scroll through Instagram, but one of them is the fact that you can put text onto a video or you can put your head superimposed on like a green screen in front of a video and sound really smart and say things that make enough logical sense to get a bunch of people to agree with you. But as soon as you scratch beneath the surface,
there's a lot of untruths about things, and it's very frustrating.
Like that G-Wagon theft scam.
Yes.
The guy said, oh, the guy makes six figures pretending his G-Wagon gets stolen over again and like giving it to thieves and then repoing it or whatever,
yes,
reporting it as stolen.
And if you've
got
one really good brain cell, you know what? Okay, if he's doing this stuff, he could make a lot of money. I could see how this happens. But as soon as you bring the second brain cell in and you start rubbing them together, it's absolutely not. The dude would be dead.
Right.
Like something awful would be unalived. Sorry, Ethan.
Well, the cops just would stop responding after the third theft call, yes, for the same one. So this today's discussion is about a video that I saw where a Tesla in, I believe it was Bulgaria, swerved around a pedestrian who had fallen into the street right in front of them, and in swerving drove head on into an oncoming vehicle.
And the impact looked significant enough. I think all of the front and side airbags went off. Like it was a big shunt. But the guy who fell, or the human that fell into the road, did not get hit.
Right. So he's thinking, oh man, he's my savior. The driver saved me. Now, the caption on all the videos I found, which seem to be going viral all over again, even though this happened back in 2024, were autonomous vehicle, avoids hitting pedestrian. Tesla's autopilot, yes, avoids hitting pedestrian. And that's not what happened. There was a driver in the car who was driving the car and swerved around the pedestrian because I would think maybe, I don't know how good autopilot is, but I'm like, if it's smart enough to avoid the pedestrian who falls right in the street, it would probably also swerve back and not just drive into the car head on.
So I saw a lot of things in the comments related to that. And here I am trusting some comments on a video I just said I didn't trust. But apparently, and I'm inclined to believe this, although I guess we could do some more research, that autopilot's reaction to something coming into the road is to brake as hard as the car can.
Sure. And which in this case would not be sufficient because
correct. It
was right in front of the vehicle.
Yes. So the car would have slowed. Maybe the impact would have been lessened. But from what the little I know, it doesn't appear that Tesla's autopilot will swerve. And I think it's for the reason that this video showcases is there's other stuff.
Yes. And the driver was found liable for the head-on accident. So their insurance has to pay for the damages, and if there's any civil suits arising out of it, then of course that driver is potentially liable in that case as well. And that's probably why Tesla is not going to swerve, because now they would be liable, I guess, as a company for causing a totally different accident. Now, watching the video, of course, we can all opine and say, well, I would have done it better. The lady or the driver who swerved to not hit the pedestrian, like, I think most of us would have done that for sure. But she swerved way too far and she straight up never swerved back. There was plenty of room to avoid the pedestrian and not cause a head-on collision. I think that's partly why these laws are written the way they are, that they protect the truly innocent driver, which is the one coming the other way.
Yes.
Because if you Google it, AI law will tell you that, like, whew, you're always at fault if you swerve and cause a different sort of accident, even if you're avoiding something. But of course, it brings up an ethical discussion as well. Like, okay, do you knowingly hit the pedestrian that you're probably going to cause significant harm to, even though it would not be your fault? Or do you take the risk of not hitting that or causing a different accident, not guaranteed, but do you take that risk in order to avoid the known?
Well, and I think this is where things get really complicated, because then somebody is programming some sort of weight. So even if you're not programming, if
forget the autopilot, I'm talking about drivers.
Oh, just in general?
Just you.
And I was thinking of this when I watched the video. If I got hit because somebody swerved to avoid someone that they could have seriously injured or worse, and as long as I was okay, I'd be pretty all right. I'd be like, you know what? For everybody, this was the best outcome.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, that's my perspective without actually ever having been through it. And you can't trust to know what people are going to react in that situation either.
Yes. Yeah. But Then there's the issue of, okay, they hit a car. I think they hit a Volvo. So safe. Two fairly safe cars with lots and lots of airbags making impact. Probably no one was injured badly. But what if they hit a Citroen?
Yeah. Ooh,
right?
Nice.
Like mass casualty right there.
Are you saying
if you had six Citroen, people in the Citroen, you'd have eight of them would be in caskets. So caskets. Like it's a pancakes, you know, scrambled eggs, and breakfast when you run into a one of those things. So I'm talking about the old ones, like a Duchaveau, not a new one. The old,
what do you
stereotypical think? Citroen, not a modern car. Anyway,
oh,
but
goodness.
No, like let's say you hit an old car. Let's say there's kids in there, right? Do you avoid the one guy who tripped into the street to hit like a bunch of like a school bus?
It's literally
a small school bus that could be damaged and people hurt, right? Like
it's literally the trolley problem.
It is the trolley problem. It exactly is.
Well, I think that's right. The rant I was going to go down, not rant, but, you know, the thought process I was going down before related to, you know, I think in the moment there's some leeway for decision making for human. Like if a human is driving, what decision do they make? It's a split second decision. Like you can't really control that. With autopilot, full self-driving, whatever, if there is an autonomous vehicle that is controlling the car, or if there's like an AI that's controlling the car, someone has to program in that decision. They mm-hmm. have to answer the trolley problem, and everybody else has to deal with their answer or their probability weights or whatever.
But couldn't on a good programming on an autonomous car do the same thing as good driver programming, right? So performance drivers, you go to a lot of defensive driving schools, you reprogram your reactions so that when things like this happen, you don't just automatically slam lock up the brakes or just like completely swerve and lose control. You swerve in a controlled manner, unlike this lady, because in watching the video again, all things being perfect, she could have swerved back and not caused the collision, right? She zigged and she didn't zag. She whipped when she should have nay-nayed. But I had to consult somebody on that phrase to get it right.
Whew, I'm a little shocked. I don't know how to respond.
Yes, you could potentially program in better reactions to say, I can evaluate where the oncoming vehicle is and is it safe to avoid this thing without causing another collision so that it's not the trolley problem. It's a matter of, can I do both?
For sure. But I think there's going to be a lot of scenarios where you can't. And then even if you pick the scenario, let's say the computer is advanced enough where it can calculate the scenario of least harm. What if the scenario of least harm happens to be the most harm to the driver of the vehicle or the passengers, occupants of the vehicle that is self-driving?
Oh, so you're saying like self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
So somebody falls in the road and you want to avoid them, but a freight train is coming the other way.
Yeah.
So no innocent people will get hurt, but it would be the most harm to you. So you're sacrificing yourself.
Well, no, I'm not even saying if you would do that, hopefully somebody would have some self-preservation. I'm saying if they're for like full self-driving,
doing it yourself, then there's the ethical decision do I sacrifice myself knowing that if I keep going, I'm going to run over this person, but if I swerve, I'm going to get hit by a bus.
I've uncovered something. It's uncomfortable.
I think the corporations programming these things are going to go with what is legally most expedient, if that's the right use of that word. Like,
I think
they're going to protect themselves from that scenario.
Yes.
They're going to say, what is the law say? If the law says that we are at fault if we swerve to avoid something, even if it's morally, ethically worth avoiding, and we cause an accident, then we're not going to do that because legal harm is better than illegal harm, or not at fault harm is better than at fault harm.
These are the very tough discussions that there is no good answer to any of them. And I just hope we kind of sort of end up going in the right direction overall.
Yeah. I think the easy thing is the animal conundrum. I've read many different articles over the years of Ferraris and Porsches and crazy exotic cars that swerve to avoid a deer or a raccoon. And they whipped when they should have nay-nayed, and they got, you know, whiplash, back and forth, tail whip, whatever that's called, tank slapper, hit a tree, wrecked their car, were injured, whatever. They totaled a Ferrari over trying to avoid a squirrel.
Yeah.
Now, PETA may have something to say about that, may weigh in there and say, well, it's just a car, it's just metal. You know, it's nature is more important. But in my view, putting yourself at that kind of risk to avoid an animal is not worth it because you could hit a tree and totally die. So, like,
I've had to make the unfortunate call to hit, I think it was a squirrel or a possum, because I couldn't swerve because there was a ditch and traffic.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you got to
do so
that.
Sorry. I felt horrific, but the mm-hmm. other option was me in a ditch or in somebody else's dashboard. So
the worst one I had was there was a raccoon crossing the road at night, and I started to swerve left, which is the direction they were going, and or right. Maybe it was right. Yeah, I started to swerve right to avoid the raccoon because they're walking left. And there was a whole line of babies behind her. So I swerved left I got to get around them all. But I couldn't swerve left enough at that point. So I just ran over the mom.
Whoa. It doesn't feel good,
no,
Doug.
It wasn't. I don't like it. It wasn't. But I mean, well, what do you do? Your reaction when it's like, ooh, raccoon, I'll avoid that. Seven baby raccoons. Well. If you do see that happen, you should get the license plate of the person and report it. And if they have a cool vanity plate, you should then report it to us so we can guess what kind of car was involved in this avoiding a raccoon. That's a wonderful segue into plate to sample game, where we have crazy vanity plates that we try to guess what car they're on based on the assumed stereotype. This is brought to us literally and financially by Soul and Spine, not Soul and Spine. It is not a that kind of holistic healing. Oh. Although he would say he's holistic in his methods to heal your body. Go see Dr. Hoover at Soul and Spine. That's Solon, like Solon, Ohio, soulandspine.com. So, my plates this week are all from the Northville Concours d'Elegance, where Ooh. I was last month. My car did not make it. The engine had a problem 3 miles from the show field, so it is still being fixed. But
I was going to say, does the engine still have a problem, Doug?
It's running again.
Nice.
But I was thankful to be invited by the organizers. It's such a great show. It was the fourth year, and it's being run by mostly people who are not of legal drinking age, and they are doing a fantastic job of kind of bringing the Concours festivities and judging and everything that goes along with the Concours and bringing that to the next generation. So mine are all from...
Which, given how arguably stuffy some Concours can be, this is a nice breath of fresh air.
It was a breath of fresh air. So mine are all from events surrounding that weekend. I'll start with Hypersonic, H-Y-P-R-S-N-Q, Hypersonic.
Is this a
Tyler.
Chevy Sonic?
No.
Or was it a Chevy that did
yes.
the Sonic? Okay. Hypersonic. Is it a blue car? Something like Sonic the Hedgehog?
No.
Okay.
No, if it was, I think Ford did Sonic Blue, that would have been
good. pretty legit.
It's not.
Oh, gosh. I have no, what is it?
A Corvette Z51. I know it's a Z51 because he has a Z51 license plate frame and a Stingray leather trunk cover.
What the heck? What is with the... I can't. I'm sleepy. Doug, for you, this comes from Paul K, submitted through switchcast.live. So Doug is obviously very popular on social media. I am not. So if you'd like to help me out, go to switchcast.live. There will be a button to submit license plates, and they come to me. If you really want to send something to Doug, you can obviously reach him on Instagram and whatnot, but it's more fun for me to try to trip up Doug and embarrass him on his own show. Anyway, coming up from Paul K, Bro Jave. B-R-O-J-A-V-E. Bro Jave.
Is this a Volkswagen Beetle made in Mexico?
Mm-mm. Not quite.
A Chevy HHR made in Mexico?
No. I'm noticing a theme, Doug.
Is Jave Spanish?
This is a Jeep Mojave that is lifted.
Mojave, bro, Jave. Oh,
yeah, it's like a lifted right. Jeep, and it's not probably
I don't know,
like
you said
a
like
dude, bro.
Jave. Well, I mean, Mojave Desert is Southwest. Yeah. Is that a Spanish word?
I'm not going to answer that before.
I'm very white and homeschooled, so let's move on. Okay, here's one for you. There's kind of a clue in the name. P51DNA. P51DNA, but it reads like pissed NA.
Is it a Mustang?
Yes.
Yeah, woohoo, I did it.
Yeah.
This is like the first one I've gotten in so long on the first guess.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a
No, it's just a GT, but yeah, it sounded mental. It sounded nice. Like a pissed, naturally aspirated car.
Heck yeah.
So I appreciated that.
Love it. Ken B gave us this one. It is cyanide.
A Scion?
It is. Look at that. Oh my God. It's a little XB with some aftermarket wheels.
My next guess was going to be like a cyan green something or other.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dat Asp. Dat Asp.
Is Aspen a car, like a model name?
Yes, it is.
Is that what this is? Is it something? Dat Asp. ASP. What does ASP mean? What? I have no idea.
I realize it's so hard when you're not looking at it.
That's kind of the...
It's a Dodge Viper. Viper, okay. An asp, a snake, asp.
Is that what...
Really?
Really? No, I'm
the homeschooled one. Golly. But it's also a play on, like, it's got a nice booty.
Oh, yeah. Asp. Well, that I got. That you part got I that got, part? But I was like, ASP, that yeah, okay. is like a play on something.
Yeah.
I got that part.
Yeah,
down.
All
come
right.
On.
Yeah.
I'm not ooh, entirely geez. Under a rock. All right, for you, it comes from Barry M. I have AGR MGMT, anger management.
Is it a Nissan Xterra?
No.
That's a deep cut from The Office because okay. Andy Bernard drove a Nissan Xterra when he went to anger
nice.
Management.
That would be sick. It is not. This
it's
is
probably
a
cool car that is the person's anger management.
Now
so it could be like
somewhere.
Any awesome car. Yeah. I don't know. Like a Lotus Exige.
Dude, too nice.
Porsche GT3.
Way too nice. C5 Corvette. Convertible.
I mean, I guess stereotypical Corvette guy needs anger management because he's always typing in caps online.
It is, oh, God bless.
Is that the first thing they teach you at anger management for boomers? Is like, here's how you turn off the caps lock?
I think so. It's like step one, press the caps
lowercase.
Lock. Yes. Proper capitalization, please.
All right. Here's one for you. Loading. The
so
number
ready.
Six, the word yeah. six, the number six. Six, S-I-X, six.
This is a, it's like a demon. It's Dodge Demon.
No.
Real? Oh. It's some muscle car then. Somebody thinks they're pretty hardcore.
No.
It's a, what?
No.
Is it like a blacked out Mercedes?
No.
What? What is it?
It's a Lamborghini Diablo.
Oh. All right. See you later, everybody.
The other devil. Come on.
I am an embarrassment. Hopefully I can get back into my computer. Okay, we're live. Woo. Doug, next for you from Joshua S. is Flexed.
Ford Flex?
Yeah, I was hoping. Okay, so here's the thing. That's very straightforward. I was hoping you forgot about the Flex for a little bit, and we're
no,
going to be really
it's,
confused.
It's the wagon that all wagon people deny is a wagon.
I hate that it is considered a wagon.
It is
it's
a wagon.
It's too big.
It is a wagon.
It's huge,
the
Doug.
Proportions are correct.
The proportions are correct. The size is not.
All right. Here's one. MIIRA. I think they're saying my IRA, but it's a Michigan plate, so it's like Michigan my IRA. I don't know. My IRA.
So this is going to be like a GT3, a Lamborghini.
Something somebody thinks is an investment
yes.
vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like yeah. the My 401k on the
yeah.
997 we saw. Is it that?
No, it's not.
Oh.
No.
Is it a Corvette?
Nope.
Okay, that could be something.
That'd be like investing in Enron in your IRA.
I don't know.
Gen 5 Viper.
Hmm.
And not an ACR.
So they really...
I mean, maybe they cashed out their IRA.
That, okay. Pay for that. Now we're getting somewhere, because I was like,
that's where it went. It's not the result what it's becoming. Yeah.
Okay. I just had it backwards. That's on me. That's my bad. All right. Last one for you, Doug, comes from Jerry M. This is Miata.
Miata.
Yeah.
But they're from Maine.
Miata. No, they're from Georgia, but I see what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Miata. Got myself a Miata. Yep.
Love it.
That's a good one. Maybe they used to be from Maine.
Really just calling back home with their every time.
They right.
Feel a little bit. Taste a flavor of home.
Indeed. That was a good one. Got you.
God, I suck at this now.
Tonight, anyway. Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.